Now, I know there are some guests in our congregation who haven't been here for the entire series on the book of Leviticus. Okay, and some of them, having heard the reading today, are wondering why they bothered to come on this day for this sermon in the series in the book of Leviticus. And I know others of you are sitting out there saying, but you promised us no more offerings last Sunday, no more sacrifices. And what did we read about today? But now, here's the deal. For those of you who are new, we are studying through the book of Leviticus. And if you haven't caught on or you've missed parts of it, you can go to our website and get all the exegetical notes and catch up. I recommend it. It has been, at least for me, a fascinating and enlightening study. We are not talking about sacrifices today directly. What we're going to talk about this morning and for several weeks is ordination. New topic. Ordination is by definition the act by which one is set apart for God. It is usually commemorated by a high and public religious service in which various things are said and done, first allowing the call of God to be defined, and then giving the person being called the opportunity to publicly accept God's call. Now, just really honest, the ordination services in my lifetime have been the height of worship. Even amongst Baptists who don't get real high, they are high. Okay, at my own ordination, okay, the most lovely music in the world was sung. Mozart's Alleluia. You think Handel is something? You should hear Mozart. It lifts you. It elevates you. The service is high and it is mighty because the moment is of extreme significance. The call of God is being defined on a person's life. And that person chooses publicly to accept the call of God on his or her life. And in the text that was just read in your hearing from the book of Leviticus, we read about the first service of ordination ever held in the history of the church. It was the service, the first time that Israel's high priest was ordained to the task. Now, before we get into the text proper, let me remind you of what I have told you several times as we have made our way through the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is the book written to instruct the priest. And it affects our lives because of what we read in the first book of Peter, the second chapter, verses 5 through 9. In 1 Peter, it says, you, Y-O-U. And the word you used there means all Christians together as a group. The whole bunch of us. And then it means at the same time, each individual member of the group. So the we of the you is us together. But the you of the you is every one of you who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. And what Peter says about us all is that we are, you are, a holy priesthood. Later on, he uses the word a royal priesthood. See, God has called each one of us as Christians through Christ as his priest. And our assignment is given to us in the New Testament. We are to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, and teaching them to live life by his commandments. This text is relevant because each one of us, you too, if you know Jesus, are set apart, ordained by God for God's special use. Today, as we gather here in this place, God is calling you again. And in the next three chapters of the book of Leviticus, we will talk about ordination. The single phrase that rings through these three chapters. More than 27 times in three chapters, God says, I command you. I command you. So God is calling you today. And the question that is before each one of us as we sit in this room is, are we resolved to be obedient to God's calling? Will we accept God's ordination? Will you live at His command? Now, on the day in question, the day when the first service of ordination was held in all time, the service of ordination followed the specific command of God. God said to Moses, we're going to ordain these guys. And Moses was gone, because nobody ever did it before. And God said, don't worry about it, bud. Here is exactly the order of service. This is how you will ordain them. And so the first thing God commanded Moses to do was to summon the entire congregation of Israel. The whole nation, all of the people, were called by Moses in obedience to God's command to come and stand at the door to the tent of meeting. Now, I want you to understand this. Ordination is a public event. Ordinations are never private. And they are never private because you cannot choose to secretly serve God. You can't. It is out there. If you are a servant of Jesus Christ, you are literally laying your life before the world saying, I am His. There is no way that you can be secret about your ordination. It is a public event. The whole nation is summoned. And then, second, Moses was ordered at the command of God to wash Aaron and his sons with water. Now, there is about this a humiliation. Think about it. The whole nation has been summoned to witness the bath. How many of you would like to be publicly washed? Okay? Only one. Okay? See, here's the issue. You can't miss the significance of the washing. What is it I say every time I do baptism over there in that corner when the baptist? The washing of our bodies with water is the symbol of our inner cleansing. Surely you see it. What Moses was ordered to do as part of the process of ordination was to wash the priest all over from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. They were acknowledging the call of God upon them by participating in this washing. They were agreeing to live pure and holy lives so as to please God and to serve His people. Now, God will not force His call on anybody. He offers it to all of us. But the fact of the matter is that we must accept it publicly. And the way we accept our public call is by following Jesus through the waters of baptism. The way we accept our public call is by declaring our willingness to do it through washing. Baptism declares that we are willing. And then the third thing that Moses was commanded to do was dress Aaron in his robes of office. Now, the robes of office are described in the book of Exodus, and if you read about them, discover that they are made with great care and that they are lavish and resplendent. But the most significant of his garments was the plate on the front of his hat. It was made of pure gold, and engraved on that pure gold plate were the words, "Holy unto Yahweh," holy to God. In these garments, Aaron reflected the holiness of God. And the scripture teaches us in the New Testament that we are supposed to be similarly robed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, so that when the world looks on us, they recognize that we are robed in the glory of our Lord and resplendent in His majesty. Our lives are to say to the world, "Holy unto Yahweh." And then the fourth thing Aaron was supposed to do was Moses was supposed to anoint Aaron and the tabernacle with oil. Now, as I've told you many times in worship, oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we receive the power to fulfill our office and to be ordained. Apart from the empowering that comes to us from the Holy Spirit, we have no power at all. And in our powerlessness, we cannot hope to fulfill the holy office that has been put on us. We need to pray for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to take charge of us. And the New Testament talks about the Holy Spirit being the seal, the mark of God. I see it on my forehead. It says in the book of Revelation, that's where it's going to end up. It is the mark of God that says He is holy unto me. And then number five, sacrifices were offered. Folks, not even priests empowered by the Holy Spirit are perfect people. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We must all lay our hands on the great sacrifice, Jesus Christ, and accept the fact that it is only through Him that we can approach God or hope to serve God's people. Without Jesus, without the offering of God's sacrifice, we are without hope. Now you listen to me. If you expect your pastor or your assistant pastor or your Sunday school teacher to be a perfect leader, you got a bad, bad idea. Okay, if you think that because you are ordained of God, you will no longer sin, think again. It is only through the sacrifice that we are made able, and the sacrifice offered on behalf is Jesus Christ Himself. And even then, we will not be perfect priests, but we'll need to come again and again to the altar of God and plead forgiveness. And it's only when we submit, as Aaron did, and place our hands on the head of the sacrifice, only when we accept what God has done, that we can indeed be ordained. But there is one element, one very different element in the sacrifices offered at the first ordination. Moses took some of the blood from the sacrifice, and he put it on the priest's right ear, his right thumb, and the big toe on his right foot. Now, I got to ask you, is that strange? It is, until you know what it symbolizes. What do you do with your ear? You listen. They are for hearing. The right ear, the blood on the right ear, is the priest's declaration that he will listen to the word of the Lord. Do you know what sets you off from the apes? Ask Peter. Okay? You can do things with this thumb because you are created different than the lower species. This thumb, you can do things that dogs and cats can't do because you got a thumb that works this way. I guess apes have it too, don't they? Yeah. Okay. But here's the deal. You ready? Your right thumb symbolizes that you will do what the Lord asks you to do. You getting it now? What do you do with your feet? You go. And when he put the blood on Aaron's toe, it was signifying Aaron's willingness to go where God told him to go. And that's the heart of the matter, folks. Here is what ordination is all about. This is what it means. As a royal priesthood, in accepting our calling, we are promising to listen to the word of the Lord. You can't listen to the word of the Lord unless you're reading the Bible. We promise that we will listen to the word of the Lord. And then we promise that we will do what God tells us to do. We resolve that we will live life according to God's word and not according to our will. And then we promise that we will go where God sends us, wherever it may be. In accepting our ordination, we're saying we'll listen to God, we will do what God says, and that we will go where God sends. Are you ready? Are you ready to accept God's calling as a priest? Are you ready to accept your calling as God's priest? Are you ready to accept God's calling as a priest? Are you ready to accept God's calling as a priest? Oh, let's try it again. You're finally waking up. Are you ready to accept God's calling as a priest? Yes. The story ends with this peculiar little detail. I need to tell you. It may change your answer. See, they had this really lovely high service of ordination. Okay? And at the end of it, God says to Aaron and his sons, "Did you really mean it?" And Aaron says, "Yeah." God says, "Do what I tell you to do. Follow my commandment. Do not leave the door of the tent of the meeting for 7 days, for your ordination will take 7 days." Now listen to me. They didn't know about that. They were going to church for a few minutes. They expected it to be a really neat thing. And then there was going to be a party. And after the party, they were going home for a nap. God says, "No way, boys. You stay there. You stay in the church for 7 days." 7 days you wait at the door of the tent. Do not leave for any reason. Just wait there 7 days. They didn't bring lunch. Now, fortunately, they had the sacrifice to eat. Okay, but if you remember what we've learned about the sacrifice, it had to be gone in 3 days. And after the third day, you couldn't eat any more of the sacrifice. So what do you eat on day four? Now, I know they had had a nice bath that day. But 7 days without a bath. There ain't no plumbing, folks, in the tent of the meeting. How do you manage life at the door of the house of God for 7 days? With everybody watching. See, it was a test. God said, "Did you mean it? Will you listen to what I say? Will you do what I tell you to do? Will you go where I send you?" It ain't easy to hear the word of God and to do what God says and to go where God tells you to go.